Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Tammy. Vince has taken the week off, but it is Monday, June 25th, and we had lots of racing action going on this weekend, both in the Nationwide Series and the Cup Series. We had Grandview running this weekend. So let's dive right on in. We're going to start off with the Grandview report tonight. This weekend, Grandview had their regular weekly racing going on Saturday night. They had their three features running. And tell you what, that modified feature looked like it would get John Kellner's to win. He had that thing tied up. He was leading it. Caution came out with two laps to go, and somehow Dwayne Howard went from being around third or fourth right to the front on that restart. And made it quite interesting because with him coming and doing that, he came basically from nowhere to take a win, which was his seventh of the season. And what was really cool was when he was in Victory Lane this week, there was a little boy celebrating his birthday. So this little boy and all his friends got to go out in Victory Lane with Dwayne Howard, who's now the seven-time winner this year in a NASCAR 58 Modified, and have his picture taken with the feature winner. So it was a neat little treat for that little guy. So in our NASCAR 358 Modified feature this weekend at Grandview, Dwayne was our winner. He beat John Kellner, senior, who finished second. Doug Mandemiller was third. Craig Von Doren was fourth. Jeff Schrunk was fifth. Glenn, brother, finished sixth. We had Jared Miller in seventh. Mike Guler, who finished in eighth place. And once again, he had a flat tire at the beginning of the race. Had to go in, make a pit stop, and he had to work his way from the back of the pack again up to the front. Another solid top 10 finish. So, you know, way to go for that team. They're really, really digging deep this year and doing really well. Ninth place was Ryan Grimm, and 10th place was Jordan Obenauer. And in the points right now in that series, Dwayne is your leader. He has 3,258 points. And he has quite a lead over second place, Doug Mandemiller, who's been back there behind him with 2,713 points. Craig Von Doren, who's another track regular up there, he's got third place locked up right now with 2,636 points. Mike Guler, after some really, really great runs of the past couple of weeks, he's sitting there in fourth place. He's ready to strike there, take over third. He has 2,599 points. And rounding out your top ten is Jeff Schrunk, Kyle Weiss, Mimi DeSantis, Terry Meitzler, Ryan Grimm, and Don Norris. They also had the late models running again this past Friday night. And it was nice to see somebody get a win who hadn't won in a while. Jason Miller, he took over the lead from Ludigree with not many laps to go from the end. And once he took over the lead, he never looked back. And he put his green and white number 44 into Victory Lane this past weekend. And it was really quite an emotional Victory Lane. He was super excited. And it's great to see him celebrating, having some fun, and be back there in the winner's circle up Grand View. It's been a couple years, so it was a good thing to see. Corey Fleming came home in second. Danny Snyder came home in third. Chuck Schutz, who is a podcast resident here, he finished fourth. Rick Totterer came in fifth. And your top ten rounding him out was Wayne Pipel, Mike Kellner, Ron Klein, Andy Ressler, and David Osmond. Lou had some issues on the last lap there. There was a little bit of a tangle, so he, after leading all that time, ended up finishing 17th there at the end. And your unofficial standings right now for your late models, Chuck Schutz is your leader right now, who was last year's point champion. Danny Snyder's in second. Ron Klein's in third. Rick Totterer is in fourth. Jason Miller moved up into fifth place with his win this weekend. Andy Ressler, AMU Motorsports, he's in sixth. Rounding out your top ten is Corey Fleming, Wayne Pipel Jr., Sean Markle, and Mike Kellner. And we finished out our night Saturday night with the NASCAR Sportsman's Class. And again, we had another winner, the first time for him, it was Mike Stringer in Victory Lane. He also was very emotional, very excited. It was nice to see the, you know, just upbeat Victory Lane to shoot at the end of the night. Craig Whitmire came home second. Jared Umbenauer came third. Mike Wazowski was fourth. Bobby Lillick fifth. Rounding out your top ten was Corey Sechrist, Eric Renninger, Kev Beach, Dave Dissinger, and Joe Funk in the 14J. And for those guys right now, their point standings are sitting like this. Craig Whitmore is your leader. Jared Umbenauer is second. Dave Dissinger is third. Brad Brightfield is fourth. Paul Klein is fifth. Kyle Bohr, who was last week's winner, he's in sixth. Bobby Lillick, who has two features with this year, seventh. Joe Funk in eighth. Kevin Beach in ninth. And Brian Hurthler in tenth. They're going to be back in action again this weekend. The same schedule as they've been having with the NASCAR 358 Modified, the late model, and the Sports Series. It's going to be the Bechtelsville Car Wash night, so that's going to be neat. There's also going to be a Bechtelsville Car Wash Cash for Dash. Gates are going to be opening up at 5:30 for the spectators. Racing gets underway at 7:30 for your heats. Practice normally starts around 7 o'clock. So come on out this Saturday night to Grand Speedway up in Batesville, Pennsylvania. Adults are $15. Kids are 12 and under are always free up there, and there's always free parking available in the grounds. And for more information on the track, you can either go to our website, garagetalklive.com, or you can jump on over to their website, which is grandspeedway.com, and get some more information on them. Two things that are coming up, you might want to plan in your schedule. Next Tuesday, July 3rd, is going to be the Pennsylvania Sprint Speed Week. We're going to have 410s back up there and the 358 modified. And the following Saturday, July 7th, just after the 4th, they're going to have the Barrow Trucking Night. They're going to have fireworks. It's going to be the late model space this year with the Firecracker 40s. They're going to have the 58 modified and the Sportsman. And Corey Fleming is going to do it again for the kids. It's going to be giving away some bikes for the kids. So, you know, make some plans to get up there now and enjoy the Firecracker 40 up there on July 7th. And don't forget, we want to hear from you. We want you to call on in tonight. Vince is in here, but you know, you guys are welcome to call on in anyway. Phone number 646-649-1899. I know Steph is going to be calling in here shortly. I know we have some other people calling in around 8:30. So just give us a call, 646-649-1899. You know, the first period, they're going to be heading to Kentucky, so we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Some people that I know that are calling in. And you know, we had the Cup in action this weekend. Clint Boyer was winning in that. We had our Nationwide Series in action with Nelson Piquet winning. So all kinds of stuff going on. So we want to hear from you. We want to know what you thought of some of the coverage and everything, too, this weekend. So just give us a call, 646-649-1899. And don't forget, you can always visit us on the web. Our website's garagetalklive.com or Facebook. Same thing, Garage Talk Live is our keyword to find us on there. Always all kinds of things going on between our sites. Always lots of pictures and stuff like that being posted up to keep you busy. And all kinds of things to check out. It sounds like my audio might be a little bit difficult for everybody too tonight. So if you're having any problems or anything like that hearing me, don't forget to give me a shout. We have the chat room and everything open in there. And you can always push your questions through in the chat room too. But if you don't want to give them a call, you can always ask any questions you want in that. We're always monitoring it. Ready to go. All right. Looks like Jeff's getting ready to call probably to us, too. So we're going to be catching up with James Lupo this week, see what he's got on the plans and where he's going to be heading, what he has on his agenda. It's always good to hear from him. He keeps us posted on all the good things, gives us some good recipes, so it makes us all hungry all night long. So while we're waiting for him, let's see, what do we got going on this weekend? Well, we know that Clint Boyer won. You know, he made the move this year to Michael Waltrip Racing, but he's also proved that that team's ready to go. They won this weekend on a road course. Garage Talk Live.
Well, hello there, young lady. How are you?
Good. And yourself?
I'm doing great now that I'm talking to you.
Well, that's a good thing. So
oh,
what's going on in your world? What do you got planned right now?
Right now, I'm just sitting back and relaxing and then trying to get a few things going on for Pocono. You know, I had a really great time cooking for the ARCA team. But I've been really wanting to cook for Justin Lofton, so I finally just picked up the phone today and called the race shop, talked to a very nice young lady by the name of Ashley. And hopefully, if I get the green light and they call me back and tell me, I'll get to go to Pocono in August, and I'll cook for Justin Lofton and Cale Gale in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series.
Oh, now that's going to be awesome. So if you get this, what are you going to be cooking for him, or haven't you figured that out yet?
I haven't figured that far out, but if I get to cook for Cale and Justin, I'm really, really going to throw down for these guys.
Ooh, so that means they're going to have to stop over there and check out what's cooking that weekend.
Oh, yeah. Anytime I'm around, and if you're at the same racetrack and I'm cooking, come on over and get a bite, because I always cook extra.
Well, I'm going to have to take you up on that because it smelled so good when I was over there last time when you were cooking up at Pocono. So I am going to have to come over there and visit you and see what you got going on. So
sure.
What did you think of this weekend's action?
You know, I thought Simona was okay. just like any other road course, I was actually really pulling for Kurt Busch. He was doing so well. And, you know, I know at the end, Tony passed him. Clint won the race. But I was really proud of Kurt Busch. I just thought he drove the wheels off that car.
And you know what? It was nice to see that team have a good run, you know, because everybody's doubted that team and its capabilities from the start since they formed. They keep saying that's a low-budget team and everything like that. And it's kind of nice to see him quiet everybody and, you know, just say, look, here we are. We are serious. So we can do this. And it just showed, you know, his strengths this weekend of what they're capable of doing.
Well, Kurt's always been an excellent driver, you know, and a lot of people, you know, sometimes you forget, people forget Kurt Busch is a NASCAR champion. He won his championship in 2004. So, you know, he really knows what he's doing. He came up differently than most folks because, well, he lived out in the desert, you know, so they didn't want to race on sand. So he grew up racing on asphalt. But, in all, I thought it was a good race. I didn't watch it on TV. I actually watched it on a Race Buddy, and I had some pretty good camera shots, except for one cameraman at the end there had to zoom in on some girl's tattoo on her backside.
Oh, no, that's not so good. Yeah, I do like that option of having a Race Buddy when they have it on, because I don't have to be tied to my TV to watch it. I can be anywhere. I can watch it from my phone, even with the Race Buddy apps and everything like that. So I'm really glad they're starting to do more with that for the fans.
Oh, yeah, and I looked it up, and they're doing a lot more races on Race Buddy with the Cup Series and Nationwide, which is pretty good. You know, I'm looking forward to this weekend, the racing in Kentucky, and I hope they have a really good race there, and I hope Kentucky Racetrack has done something better for the roads so the fans can get in there and actually see the race.
That's right. Last year they had a lot of difficulties with this race. Some fans never even saw the action because one, they ran out of the parking, and the traffic was just horrendous. But now I believe it's Bruton Smith's track this weekend. Am I correct in that, Chef?
I thought it was Kentucky this weekend.
No, but isn't Bruton one of the owners of this one?
Yes, he is, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I know they said they put all kinds of new plans and everything in place after last year and after the disaster they had. So I'm kind of curious to see what they've worked out and how they've made arrangements to make sure everybody's getting there. And I'm sure everybody's planning on getting there early, too, after last year.
Right. Well, I hope they've done something because it's, you know, it's a shame when a fan pays that much money to go see a race and, you know, they can't even get to it because traffic is just backed up miles and miles.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. And it's not cheap. You know, this is something, it's not like your local short track where you're paying, you know, $15, $20 to get in. You know, you're paying anywhere from $60 on up for your ticket.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
No, it's a shame when they miss out on that kind of money.
That's true. And the way NASCAR works, the higher up you are in the stands, the more the tickets cost because you get a better view.
Exactly. You know, so.
Of course, I only like my view. I don't mind. Out on pit road, hey, I have a great time.
Oh, I agree with you on that one. I'm to the point now I can't sit still. If I'm in a grandstand at a race just going out with my family, the kids pick on me because I go stir crazy. I can't sit still that long anymore. I just want to be walking around and holding the camera up and taking all the pictures that I can.
I tell you one thing. When we left Pocono on Sunday afternoon, you know, we had to take a different turns to get out of there, but it led us back around, and the two-lane road going to Pocono, I mean, it was backed up for miles.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's why when I do go up there and everything like that, when I go to any race, I always try and get some of my work done in the media center before I even think about getting out there in the traffic. I know my traveling partner sometimes likes to get on the road, get in as quick as she can, but I don't like sitting there just waiting and waiting and waiting for everybody else to move. Let everybody else go, and then I'll head out, you know. You know, you can sit in the media center, get your work done and everything like that. Or some of the people, you know, the fans and stuff will sit out in the parking lot and they'll tailgate, cook dinner and things like that before they hit the road, too. So, you know, there's all kinds of things you can do to wait for the traffic to dissipate.
Well, we just wanted to go ahead and get out of it. We could have stayed for the race. We were offered the tickets to go in and watch the race from the Pocono private club or whatever it is there.
Okay.
But we were just so tired and wore out, you know, we just wanted to go home. And matter of fact, when Shannon got us back to the car, you know, we had to go get security to have people move their tents because it was blocking the emergency lane to where, you know, you couldn't leave.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, the security came out there, and they were real nice about everything, and, you know, people moved their tents away so we could get through. They were really, you know, really great people. But at first I had to go and talk to somebody because they just wouldn't listen to me. But all in all, it was a really, really great weekend. I had a blast cooking for BCR, Buster Graham. Whole team was really cool. And they had a couple of guys from the 51 team pit crew come over and pit with them. So
oh,
those guys
wow.
were really neat. Matter of fact, I even called up Phoenix Racing trying to maybe see if I could cook for Kurt Busch, but they have a contract with the Garlic Garage, and they're happy with, you know, the food there.
Oh, wow, yeah. It's hard sometimes, but you know what? When you got a good thing going like you do, word will catch on. Everybody will start spreading around what you're cooking and how good it is. It'll catch on.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. Like I said, I don't never want to get as big as having my big own catering company and, you know, having a, that's a lot of headache and a lot of mess. You know, I've cooked for multi-car teams before when I started out with Jay Robinson Racing because we had two cars. JD Motorsports had, you know, two-car team. And that's pretty good for me. I'm happy because it's only about maybe 25, maybe 30 people at the most because you're always going to have somebody from a sponsor around or somebody's family might be there. So I always cook a little extra. But when you start having to cook for several hundred, to me, it's a headache, and then you're not having fun.
That's true. Now, I mean, fans come to the tracks, and they come pulling in a little bit before race time, but tell us a little bit about your day. You know, obviously, you and I both know we don't come pulling in right before race time. What time does your day normally start when you're at the track?
When I'm at the track, I usually get up about 4 o'clock in the morning, get dressed, make sure I get, you know, shower, of course, make sure I got everything together, and I try my best to shop right before I go to the track because I want to give them the freshest food possible. I don't want to have to sit there and prep a whole bunch of stuff, then have it iced down and worry all about that. So I get what shopping I got to get done, get to the track early. Since I'm not supposed to lift anything heavy, I bring somebody along. I call them my sous chef, and they help me out immensely, and we get unpacked and everything and set up. Make sure, you know, usually teams have a certain time they want to eat. You know, if it's, say, a day before the race, they're going through tech and everything, they might qualify that day. Usually they don't want to eat till after qualifying. But on a race day, when you got, say, a race starting at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, you got to work with the team because the driver might be outside on autographs. They're doing the last-minute, you know, work on the car. And two, when you see the race team, they don't just come all at one time to eat. They're working, so they'll trickle in a little bit at a time, and then, you know, you want to make sure that they've had plenty to eat, and sometimes you have to get on the older guys to eat their vegetables.
You have to get on them, too?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've been thinking taking the Woods food with me because they won't eat any vegetables, and I want to just pop them on the hand and say, eat your vegetables right now. They're good for you.
Well, that means you're going to be popping me on my hand because I don't eat vegetables either, so I'm the bad girl.
Well, vegetables are good for you, especially if you're working. You know, you got to keep up your energy and stuff, and you got all those vitamins and nutrients in the vegetables.
That's true. Yeah, I have issues. I grew up on a farm, so it's kind of hard for me. I just grow them and plant them and all that fun stuff, so I just kind of avoid them. But I'm working on that.
Well, sometimes I even make that mistake and forget to eat vegetables, and I'm a chef. And, you know, when I'm at home, I'm lazy because I'm single. You know, I don't have a live-in girlfriend. I just throw something in the darn microwave. What the heck? That way I don't have to wash the dishes.
That's true. Makes life a little bit easier.
Yeah, I hate washing dishes, but I love cooking, but that's two different things. And like I said, I'm looking forward to hopefully I get this truck team at Pocono. I'd love, you know, to even be able to go into Watkins Glen, but I know that probably wouldn't happen. One thing that's really cool, too, is I entered a contest online with Barber Foods, and I was one of the first place winners. I thought at first I'd won the grand prize, but I didn't. But there were, like, from what I understand, 150 first prize winners. And so somehow all of us get our picture on Kevin Harvick's Nationwide car at New Hampshire.
Well, I know some people are going to be up there, so I'll make sure to get some pictures for you.
I don't know. I can't even remember what picture I even sent to them.
Well, I'll make sure they get all kinds of pictures, so that way, even if they don't know who they're looking for, we'll make sure we have a picture for you of the car.
I'd love to go to New Hampshire. It's a beautiful racetrack. And then I'm hoping this weekend, coming up this weekend, is to go watch some local dirt track action. Got a speedway probably about less than an hour from where I live at. It's called Lebanon Valley Motor Speedway. And it's a half-mile high-bank dirt track. And I heard it's a lot of great racing out there. And since I live in New York, you know, I need to go and watch my local track and my local drivers and see, you know, watch them see how well they do.
Well, yeah, and if you go there, definitely come on back next week. And I want to hear all about it if you're going. You better keep posted on that.
I'm hoping I can get there. And see, even though I live in a city with only about 8,000 people, I'm kind of the guy, I stay mostly to myself. I have friends and everything, but, you know, a lot of them aren't NASCAR fans or racing fans. Even, you know, when people come into my home, you know, the first thing they see is all this stuff I have from NASCAR, and they just go, oh, wow. Did you used to work at NASCAR? You know, I want to say, nope, I just got all those things with my name on it for the fun of it.
Yeah, exactly.
But
kind of like how my place is.
But I have a great time, and also I got to give a big shout-out to a couple of guys that's out there. Tracy Barr, one of them, he's in part of the NBS Racing blog, and I don't know if Floyd Up the Grove is on tonight, but he's a really cool dude also. Sometimes I throw him under the bus when I'm on Burning Rubber Radio, and I think one time I went a little bit overboard, and I had to apologize to him for that, you know. Sometimes I don't think when I talk.
Well, that NBS blog, they are a bunch of great people in there. I love it. They're so supportive of everybody and, you know, just a lot of fun. You know, when you're having a bad day, I love just popping in there and seeing what's going on and seeing all the chatter. They're so interactive with each other. So, you know, that's definitely something I enjoy every day.
Yeah, now, you know, they started out, and Foster Chef is not my real name. My real name is James Lupo. And the reason I go by Foster Chef is my original page got hacked and hijacked on my way back from cooking at Salem, Indiana, to ARCA race. So I had to start all over.
Oh.
And they were the ones that gave me the nickname Foster Chef, and I just stuck with it. And now they got a new nickname for me. They're starting to call me Lamb Chop.
Oh, no.
Like the little puppet young lady that's in DS Racing Blog. Her name is Kimmy, and Lamb Chop was her favorite puppet. So now I've got stuck with the nickname and said, y'all can call me anything you want, but I'm not putting Lamb Chop in my chef jacket.
Aw, I like Lamb Chop, though. I grew up watching that. Does that make me old?
So,
it's one
just
of my
fine.
Favorite shows
and, are you racing this weekend?
I am probably not. Wait a minute, what's this weekend's date?
I need to get down there and watch you race sometime. I would really, really get a kick out of that. You know, I've met you. I know you talk on the radio. I know you're an excellent photographer. But I'd really like to see you get strapped into a race car and run some laps.
Well, my type of racing, actually, we don't have seatbelts or straps or anything like that. I don't even have a roll cage. I race dirt bikes.
I'm one of those crazy girls.
One of our tallest jumps is, I think, 200 feet. I'm one of those crazy girls that gets on the bike and just pulls that throttle back and lets it go. So,
I thought you raced cars. I didn't know you raced motorbikes.
Yeah, I race motocross. I race the pro-am women's and stuff like that. I'm really daredevil and crazy when it comes to that kind of stuff. Because when we crash, it hurts. There's no two ways about it. Once you crash, you're done. It's hurting.
Yeah, I believe that. I remember as a kid having a mini bike and stuff like that, but I never, you know, had a really good dirt bike where you could, you know, get out on the trails. We used to have trails right down the road from the house and stuff like that, but I had a Honda XL70, and there wasn't much you could do with that.
Yeah, I run, the biggest we're allowed to run in the women's class is a 254 stroke, so I have a 2006 YCF 250 that I race out there with the girls, and sometimes I go out with the boys just to have a little fun. I go run in the men's class and stuff like that just to see how I compare against them, but I'll admit it, after not running on a consistent basis for the past almost 2 years, I haven't gotten hurt a little bit. You know, I just got to get myself back into shape and everything. We were thinking about going this past weekend, but that didn't happen with everything going on Saturday night. So I believe the next scheduled time I'm supposed to get out on the bike is July 8th. We're going to give it a shot. We have sponsors waiting for us down in Englishtown to get there, and crew are already waiting for us. You know, my crew chief will be down there making sure I'm doing the best I can and going after those whole shots in the race. That's always my goal, is to get the whole shot, be the first one in that corner when they let us go.
Wow, that is really cool. Like I said, I need to get down there and watch it. Even if you do race motorcycles or motocross, you know, that is pretty cool to watch. They got a motocross track somewhere up here. I think it's over in a town called Claverick. I'm not positive.
I know there's a couple up that way that some of the ones I know run up there. Not sure where they're all at, though, and I can't think of all the names. I think maybe there's three or four big ones that I know of.
Yeah, there's a gentleman here. He's a friend of mine on Facebook. He lives in Chatham, New York, and his name is Steve Layton, and his son races motocross. Matter of fact, he's pretty well known from what I understand, but he had gotten to an accident, and he was recovering, and I think he's just now gone back to racing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bad thing. When you get hurt in this sport, you're down, unfortunately. You know, my injury, they were saying at least 2 years off the bike. Well, I was stubborn, didn't listen, tried to get back on a couple months later. So that was my first down point, because I hate it still, and I hate just seeing the bike sit there and not being out there competing. You know, I know there's a race going on. I want to be out there. I want to be trying to do the best that I can. So that's one of my bad things. But, you know, I'm looking forward to getting back on the bike, doing it the right way this time. You know, this year's chances of getting any championships or anything like that are out. But if they're just going to, you know, work goal by goal, first grab the whole shot, then start going after, you know, top podium finishes, which is your top three, and go from there. You know, I keep saying I feel like I'm greedy in some ways. I have three track championships down there already, and I already have a regional championship and did my national rankings and all that stuff. And sometimes I feel a little greedy, but then again, I know it's what keeps me going.
Wow. I tell you one thing, you're just so good at everything you do. You're a wonderful person. You're beautiful. The only downside is you're married, darn it.
That's what everybody says.
I looked at you and said, gee, she's hot. I need to ask her out. What do you know? She's married.
Yeah,
that's like when we were at the track with at the ARCA team, and there's a young lady there. Her name was Carrie. She's Mr. Bixby, the manager of the team, his stepdaughter. And I was just joking around with her and stuff. I said, yeah, you need to find, you know, one of these rich drivers out here, you know. Come to find out, she's now dating, or probably has been, Chad Hockenbrough. And he's, you know, he's a really good driver.
Cool.
So I wrote her a message and said, oh, see, you took my advice about finding a rich driver. So, he's a young kid, but he's really good, and he's going to go far. There's a couple of great guys in there. And it's also good, you know, Daryl Basham is doing pretty good, you know, which is really wonderful. You know, that team's been through heck and high water, he got some type of award for doing something at the race in Winchester. I know this coming week, ARCA is at the New Jersey Motorsports Park, and it's a road course. So that should be a great race for them. And my biggest thing, like I said, I'm looking to go back to Pocono and hopefully being able to get this truck team, because I would be so just stoked to go in there and cook for them. Because, like I said, Justin and Cale are both great, great drivers. And I know eventually, you know, Cale's already ran a few nationwide races and stuff. And I know both of them are going to exceed and go far and make it all the way into the Cup Series, and then, you know, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with eventually. I already know that both of them are already better drivers than Danica. Of course, just about every driver nationwide is better than Danica.
I have some things that irritated me this weekend about her, but I'll be a good girl and I'll stay non-biased. I just something that the commentator said really, really just hit a bad spot with me this weekend, but I'm going to be a good girl, and I'm going to take the higher ground on that.
You know, another person whom I would really, really like to cook for, and that's Johanna Long, and she's a great driver. I keep trying to put messages out there at Facebook on the team's page and stuff like that, but I haven't yet got to that point, you know, to be able to talk with somebody. But she would be a great person to cook for personally. And another young gentleman I love to cook for is Chase Elliott. I met him at Salem, and, you know, he was just a fine young man, very professional. I liked his attitude. Lance McGrew was a really cool guy, and everybody on that team was really super nice, just like, well, everybody in ARCA Racing is super nice. They're all wonderful people. Matter of fact, they had a thing on Good Morning America on Facebook. They said, who would you like to say hello to? And I typed in and wanted to say hello to my daughter, Aletta. And then I said, I want to say hello to all my friends in the ARCA Racing. And then I wrote down ARCA Racing. It's a whole lot more exciting than NASCAR.
I like all divisions. So to me, every division I go and watch is always exciting because these guys work so hard day in and day out to do what they do.
Yeah, that's true. They all work really, really hard and stuff like that. But lately, Sprint Cup has been kind of dull, and which, you know, a few years ago, it was the greatest thing to watch. But now it's more fun sometimes to watch a nationwide race. And to me, the Truck Series is the best of them all.
You know, I think the Truck Series has been getting better and better. I actually saw their inaugural race in Disney when they first started out, and I have to say that was pretty cool. Something different to see down there, and it was my first time I experienced a race from the pits and the infield and pit road and everything like that for that type of event, which was pretty cool. But, well, who are you going to pick for this weekend in the Cup Series? It looks like I got another caller calling in, so we're going to get your pick.
This year, well, at Kentucky, man, that's a really hard choice. I like to see Jeff Gordon finally get a win and, you know, get that monkey off his back. But I'm going to pull for Jimmy Johnson this weekend.
You're going to take Jimmy?
Yeah. I was picking with him earlier today. You know, I asked him, because we're friends on Facebook, and says, you know, I'm the 2004 NASCAR Crew Chief Challenge champion. I've held the title for 9 years. Don't you think you have to catch up with me?
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, it was just a joke. But listen, I know you got another caller, and you got some great people to talk to and stuff like that. So I'm going to back up on out of here. And everybody, thanks for putting up with me. And also, if you get a chance on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock, please listen to the Burning Rubber Radio Show at highway40country.com. They're a great show to listen to also. And Garage Talk Live, it's also a very wonderful program, and it's an honor for me to know you, Tammy.
Oh, well, thank you so much for calling in. You have a good evening, and I hope you'll listen to the rest of the show.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good night, hon.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, I'm actually going to bring two more callers in now with everybody. I know Glenn's calling in, and we have Cindy calling in, so we're going to do some recapping and looking forward to this weekend. So I got both Glenn and Cindy now on the line. So, hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, not a whole lot. What's going on? Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Tammy, how are you?
Say hi to Cindy, too, Glenn. We got Cindy on, too.
Oh, I'm sorry, Cindy. We got to give some love to Cindy. Hey, Cindy, how you doing?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks.
Cindy, Glenn is one of the ones that I go shooting with up and down pit road. He always keeps us moving and keeps us busy and always makes sure that we're smiling and having fun during the weekend. He never lets us have a bad weekend when we're out there.
Well, that's what's supposed to be done, Glenn.
Yep, well, without Tammy, the fun's only half there. She's got to be there to have the full fun.
You know, once again, it's us women that bring the fun to the whole sport.
Well, this is a ladies thing. I'm not going to definitely touch that. But you girls are definitely winners. Like, we like to say congratulations to Clint Boyer on his win over the weekend at Road Course America. He did an outrageous job. Michael Waltrip Racing has really bumped up their program where they're starting to show a lot of progress and performance.
And that's good to see,
that's
too.
True. Yeah. You know, and Clint is so humble. He really, really is. You know, he deserves wins like that.
Well, he's definitely in the right equipment. He has the right crew chief. He has the right chemistry going on. And he don't be too surprised if you see him up there in the pretty close to that championship. Might be sitting at that front table.
Be nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, Clint's been working so hard. He's always, like you said, he's humble, he's quiet, he's grateful for what he has out there, and he's always working so hard to get things done. So, I mean, it is nice to see him have a good run, and a lot of people were doubting what capabilities and everything were like a Waltrip Racing coming into this season, but I think Clint's win this weekend has really helped solidify that, you know, they are a team, they're there for the long haul, and they're there to get the job done.
Well, you have to give them a lot of credit. They don't have the, like, the, well, what other teams have, like the Roush Fenway team, the Hendrix team, the RCR teams, where they have so much knowledge and so much things to work with. So Michael Waltrip Racing is getting bigger and bigger, and that's going to be a team to be reckoned with. The small teams are going to be the ones are going to be making a big, tremendous hit in this season. And you're going to start seeing some unusual names finishing up in the top 10. And it's just going to just turn everything around.
Well, you know, and it's time. It definitely is time to... Oh, okay, Tracy, sorry. It's definitely time to see some of, you know, I call them the big boys. I'd like to see some of the big boys be knocked down just a little bit. Because, you know, as we all know, you know, watching the sport, it does get repetitive. And we're hearing the same thing. We're hearing the same teams. We're hearing because of this engine or because of this or because of their engineers. You know, when the littler teams step up, it gives everyone else a little more hope that their driver, who may not be one of the big boys, that they have the option, they have the availability to win.
I think, you know, one of the other things, too, is we have to realize, and it's no offense to any drivers, but some of these drivers are getting a little bit older, and with other people getting the wins and everything like that, you're going to start to see some of the new faces and everything like that in victory lane. What makes it hard is when you have that automatic 35 locked in every week, it is normally your best of the best, your current competitors and things like that. So it makes it hard for somebody to try and get some of those remaining 8 spots that are out there. But at the same time, it also makes them realize how much they have to step it up to get into the ranks of where everybody else is now.
Right. And it is, you know, and I can talk on the other side now. It is very difficult and it is very frustrating, you know, especially when you are 1 to 2 points out of the top 35. You know, every race is on the line.
Right.
And go ahead, Tammy.
It just makes me think in some ways maybe NASCAR needs to change it. Maybe instead of having the top 35 locked in, maybe do a smaller number to give more opportunity for diversity in the fields and everything like that. I mean, I know they tried this year by limiting where you have to pick your division and everything like that you're going for your points and things like that. So that's kind of slowed some of the ringers from coming down from Cup Series in a nationwide. But it hasn't deterred all of them. Some of them are still
right.
Going in, doing it on a regular basis. And no offense to those Cup guys, they're great. But they're already on that top level. They're already running there every week. Let some new faces try and work their way in. You know, give somebody a chance that wouldn't have a chance otherwise.
Correct. You know, and what it is, you know, they're choosing their points in the Cup, and all they're doing is coming and taking a win. When
right.
A win, a position, means a lot to a team like Make Motorsports. You know, one position. You know, we're fighting for one position. You know, we're happy to be in the top 25. And, you know, it makes it hard when we have, you know, some of the big boys coming on in and taking those from us. And if I recall, you know, it was the truck series. Once you have accomplished in the truck, you move to nationwide. Once you have accomplished what you need to in nationwide, you move up to the cup series. And it's almost like a sandbagging. It's sometimes how I look at it.
Right, and that's one thing I'm going to say with AMA and motocross and stuff like that. We don't have the opportunity to do that. You know, once
right.
you hit a certain level, you're done. You can't go back down to that level. You know, I'm classified as a men's B. I can never go back down to a men's C classifying again. The only thing I can do is go up to the A level, and that's it. You know, and,
right.
and if I do go down, I get penalized, and I could lose my competition license for doing it. So,
exactly.
I mean, if other series are doing these type of rules, you know, I don't understand why. Okay. You already have all these championships. I understand they say that they're doing it for the seat time. They get to know the track better. Well, I look at it from the standpoint of I'm a fan. I'm not going to pay $90 for a ticket to go see a race on Sunday when I can spend $30 and see basically the same drivers running on Saturday.
Right. Right. But there's nothing we can do. You know, there's no way we can make, you know, NASCAR see. You know, what the point is, I mean, NASCAR is looking at, you know, some of the bigger names in the nationwide series to bring more spectators to the nationwide race or to the truck race. Therefore, you know, it's acceptable to them because they're still bringing in more spectators. And in the long run, that is what it's about.
But what's your take on this?
I agree with her because, I mean, you know, the nationwide races, they could use a lot more people. I mean, each time we're going to the tracks and covering these races, the grandstands are getting less and less and less. And bringing the truck race to Pocono, there was always two races at Pocono. The truck race, which is the second race at Pocono, is drawing in more of a crowd now than the first race, which is Sprint Cup in ARCA.
Right. And it's because of some of the larger names, some of the larger teams coming in. You know, and on the other hand, it is, you know, it's good for the sport. It will bring recognition to those that need the recognition also, because you will have a contender that is not a big name, and they're up there, they're fighting for a position, therefore the driver or the team is getting marketed.
This is so true.
What would you think about maybe if they would start putting limits on it? Say, okay, only 5 Cup Series regulars can run on any given weekend in any other division. You know, 5 in the nationwide and 5 in the truck. But at the same time, say, you can only run X amount of races the entire season. Do you think that would kind of, I mean, they tried the thing where you declare your points, but obviously that's not slowing down the issue or helping the issue. They're still coming in and being ringers. So what do you think?
Glenn?
I think that might be an idea to kick up to them. But a lot of other drivers, it'd be unfair to others. Some will complain. Somebody will say something along the lines.
You're right. And what I think is limiting the amount of races, yes. But then again, you know, and I have, let me say, no place to talk for TJ Bell. But in the instances of TJ, you know, he's running the full season with Nationwide. And he does have races in the Cup. He does, you know, he is contracting out for races in the Cup. Why couldn't, I mean, then they would turn around and say, well, why can he move up and still continue to go down? You know, I mean, it's a catch-22 situation. I do think it would be there, like Tammy says, for the ringers. You know we're not a ringer. We would love to be.
But in this instance, though, I don't think it would be a catch-22. He's a nationwide series regular. But, okay, I look at some of those ones that are up there now. They've won nationwide championship. They've won cup championship. To me, that's what a ringer is. He's not going from cup series and coming down and running nationwide when he feels like it. He's running nationwide. He's getting his seat time. He's getting experience. The team is growing and building. When they have that opportunity to go and do a cup series event, it's just adding to their experience. It's not... It's reverse of what they're doing. He's going up there to learn and see the higher level of competition that there is in the Cup Series, giving him that challenge So making him better when he does come back down to Nationwide and making him ready for when he transitions up to a higher level too. I mean, it's more the experience than anything. Situation instead of I've got all the experience, I've got all the wins, I've got all the championships, oh, I'm bored this weekend, I'm going to go down here and dominate.
Right, right. And like, you know, and Tracy says, you know, he says, you know, they should run them all or none. I think that's correct. Like Casey Kane, wasn't it, I mean, what, 4 or 5 weeks ago when he won the truck, when he won the Nationwide, you know, when they were going to question whether he was going to win the Cup? Yeah, I mean, what gives them the right to jump from, you know, because the all three happen to be running together? It's a convenience for them?
Right, and you see to see a lot of that happen when they are running all three. I mean, we've seen Kyle do all three down at Dover. You know, we've seen him go from truck to Nationwide to Cup and things like that. And it's kind of like, okay, I'm here. I've got nothing else to do. Oh, I'm going to go play.
Right. Right. I don't know. You know, it's something that, you know, I don't know who would look into it or how it would be looked into. But by golly, if there's a way, I'll find it.
I mean, I think, too, if you did something like that, I'm seeing lower numbers of car turnout. But if it was me and I'm in that situation and I know I'm a goer or a homer and I'm looking at the entry list and Casey Kane and I'm seeing maybe Dale Jr. that week and decide he's going to come down and play and Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski, I'm going to go, I have no chance. Why bother spending my money?
Right. You know, and I can say from, you know, when we do our qualifying runs, after so many have qualified, I can tell, I mean, knowing who's left, I know exactly. I mean, we still have, you know, 20-some-odd cars going. I know exactly where we're going to finish because of these drivers are going to knock us down when there could be a possibility that we could have a better starting position.
Another thing, when you're saying that too, that brings up another point is maybe they shouldn't be starting those guys in the front. If you're not running for points, have all the guys and girls running for points start in the front by their speed, and then behind them have all the ones not running for points start.
Yes.
You know, and line them up in the same way. You know, fastest qualifier for non-points will start behind the slowest qualifier for points.
Okay, now here, you know, here's another issue. You know, when say that happens, and, you know, some of the bigger name drivers are coming up the field out of, you know, respect, out of courtesy, knowing that we cannot compete with those cars, we move. There and before, there again, you know, we're being pushed to the side.
Right, and that's
them.
Not fair either, you know, and you just feel like you have to get out of the way because if you don't, sometimes they're going to move you, and you don't want the damage just because you didn't move quick enough to get out of their way. That's not fair either.
That's not fair. You're right. That's not fair. So we are in a situation to those teams that are not the big name teams, to those teams that do race weekend to weekend, you know, or month to month, however you want to look at it. Not really sure, you know, how to address the situation. But believe us, since we're not the only ones that have thought about this or, you know, thought of ways to change it. I just don't think that there's an avenue to do so.
Right. It's a shame because I think if there was something, I don't know, maybe it's an intimidating factor I could call. If you're new and just starting out and you're being told, okay, here's when you have to go qualify, but you're going to have to be fighting with all these names from Cup and you're trying to run a Nationwide or a Cup class, you know, that can be a little intimidating. You know their stats, you know their history, you know they're good. And you're coming in there, and it kind of changes your whole outlook and attitude on everything, too, which changes your outcome. Once you have attitude change going into something like that, and you're low man on the totem pole, and you know it's a long shot, there just goes any of that motivation to go out there and do it, because it's like, okay, well, there's already enough drivers. We're going to be locked in. Here I am. I see my time. I'm a go-or-go-homer. Why even bother unloading?
I'm going to tell you right now, any go-or-go-homer that has that attitude really doesn't need to be out there anyways.
Oh,
true.
I agree with her 100%.
I will tell you right now, I don't know how many times we have been a go-or-go-homer, but all you ever hear TJ say is, I got this, boss. I got this.
Right, but I mean, I've known
and those that you know him,
just like
you know,
our local tracks that have been put in that position, and like, I can tell you from some of the girls in our area, they've been put in that position, and the guys will do anything and everything they can to intimidate the girls, so they turn around and go home. And that's the bad side of things when stuff like that happens. I want to see more of the positive, motivating side of things, the sport. But unfortunately, how they've just acted towards people who come in, they're new, they know that they're inexperienced, and, like, I know one of the girls I knew tried to race, and they literally, every week, stuff up in the wall to wreck her car until she finally goes, I had enough, I'm tired of fixing it, I'm done, I got the point, you don't want me in your features, I'm done.
Right. Now, let me just touch on one more topic, Glenn, I hope you don't mind.
Sure.
Here's another thing. Go or go homers. Okay? They get a go, and they pull it in. Spartan Park. Nobody likes Spartan Park, and there is a reason behind them. We all know there's a reason behind them. Do we like them? No. But it's starting to get very frustrating when, you know, the go or go homers are bumped out, or someone that's going to run the entire race is bumped by someone that only plans on doing 10 laps.
Oh, and I agree. I don't like it at all. I know last year we were talking one of the other sports and everything. We knew going into the race, they could tell us, okay, we're going to go, we're just going to go, we're going to take the lap, and we're done. It's like,
right.
Okay. And then they came, you know, one of the ones I talked to me, and they're like, well, I don't understand why now things are happening. And then it disappeared for a while because they couldn't get sponsors. And it's like, well, you know, we had this whole debate last year, too. It's, well, are you really fulfilling your sponsor contract at that point? Because I said most of them have to know that you're going to race to the best of your ability. Is that really race to the best of your ability?
Right, right. But then, you know, now on the sponsor side, you know, with me securing, you know, attempting to secure sponsorship, a lot of sponsors are okay with the go or go homers part and stuff. Excuse me, park and start. They're okay with that because they are showing a lot of those cars. They
right.
are showing those. And, you know, sponsors are happy when there's a crash. Sponsors are happy when there's a blowout. The sponsors are happy with that.
But, I mean, again, is there any way? No, I wish there was a way that they could. Figure out a way to punch the teams when they do something like that. I mean, I see, you know, okay, you don't want to waste equipment, you take a lap, you know, or until you have mechanical failure or something like that. But what about running until at least you're out of fuel or your tires are no good or something like that? Would that make it a little bit better to tolerate? At least
you
making a better effort? You know, using what you have to your availability, and then once it's done, it's done?
That may make it better. That may make it better. But then you still have to look at, you know, when you go to buy your tires, they're going to go 10 laps. Or, you know, they're not going to let them just buy one set of tires. You know, so they're losing that. Which does the team matter. You know, it's the drive time. It's the seat time.
Right. What do you think, Glenn?
I was just curious, like, the guys that have to qualify for their time in, why don't they have something like a pre-race, like they do with motocross, where they have the first main, the second main, and then this way they have to race a certain amount of laps, giving their sponsors more coverage, because there's only going to be a few cars on the track. More people are going to watch it to see who's going to race their way in, just like the All-Star race.
Well, that
you want me to answer that? You got that, Tammy?
There's not enough cars right now. I mean, if we were pulling the 50, 60 cars like they used to have on the entry list, that would be a great way to do the weekend. You know, you'd have a little bit more action racing and the excitement, but when you only have 44 cars, when you're going to have 9 cars battled out and one goes home, it kind of takes away from it.
Right. And in the last few races, there have only been 43 entries.
Right. I think this weekend there's like 46?
46. That is correct. 46. You know? But it's, you know, it's a doggy dog out there.
Right. I mean, I do. I love that idea. If they were still cool in the field, I think they were 90s and everything were, yeah, they are scared and you're sending, what, 17 home? Well, then you could have that teammate qualifying type of scenario. And it would be interesting, because then you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to earn it. But at the same time, if you are a low-budget team and you have problems in that race, and you do qualify, or, you know, or if you don't qualify, you know, you just wrecked your car, too, or banged it up or anything like that, you know, it's a good sign, it's got a bad side. But I don't know what they can do to get the car counts up right now for the registration, because it's just not there.
I don't know. What about making it more expensive if they know they're going to do a start, you know, a park and start? Start and park, I'm going to do that one backwards.
That's
you know,
idea.
The entry fee should be more.
Same time, it's like, well, how are you going to know? Because they're not going to truthfully tell you whether or not they're going to do it. I mean, you know who's going to do it.
Right, we know we're going to have, you know,
engine problems. Hey, NASCAR, I'm going to take a lap and I'm going to be done, because technically in the rules, there's a rule about that. You make it a known ahead of time.
Right. I don't know, you know, it's a topic that will probably go on until the end of the time. We probably aren't going to get, you know, a resolution to it.
And it's a shame. I mean, I love your idea, though, Glenn. I mean, if we had that many cars and everything like that, it would be great. But I just keep the declining car counts and everything like that week in and week out. And it's a shame. It is expensive. You know, I'm not going to lie. I know some of the behind-the-scenes information and your entry fees and stuff like that, and it's not cheap. You know, I even on the local level for these guys and everything like that, it takes a lot of sponsors, a lot of money, a lot of effort, and it's always close. Like, local guys, they're trying to work regular jobs, prepare their cars at night, and be at the track and race night, Saturday night. And if it breaks, and, you know, the bars are Saturday series, you pick Friday night, you're up all night Friday night into Saturday trying to fix that car to be ready to go for Saturday night. You know,
right.
Things like that that makes it rough on a team.
That it does. That it does.
Well, I have a good question. The 51 car that's driven by Kurt Busch and Kyle Busch, what happens if they were to come in first place? Who do they give the trophy to? Neither of them can gain the points on it. I guess it would be a team effort, team trophy.
Team trophy.
Right, yeah. They still get the owner's points and everything, but they don't get the driver's points. Am I correct?
Correct.
See, but I feel that's unfair to the people that are really trying to, like, for example, like T.J. Bell, who's in there racing, and it's just another, you know, another competitor that's just a team, somebody with a lot of money that's just putting a car out there to make money off of their sponsorship.
Let's see. I just looked it up. For this weekend, your car entry, 46 for the 46 for Nationwide and 43 for the track. Now, if I go look at some of those entries, I bet you I'm going to see. I can even go look right now. Let's see. One second. I'm loading the page. I'm looking to see who's entered in and see what we have this weekend. So, Truck Series doesn't look too bad. Looks like it's pretty much all your regulars. Nelson Piquet Jr. is in there. Ben Joe Cobb registered for this weekend. I don't really, I'm just doing a quick look over. I don't see anybody in the Cup Series in that. Let me go check Nationwide.
Nelson Piquet Jr. He's going to go in with confidence after last weekend winning the Nationwide race.
And let's see. The first name I see on the Nationwide list is Danica.
I'm going to be nice here. Danica is a full-time Nationwide driver.
She is.
She is a full-time, so we can't even question what she's doing there. She's not pulling her own in Cup, nor Nationwide, really. Well, I can't really say she's not pulling her own, but, you know, I'm just not fond of her. But Danica, we can't even mention her. You know, let's defend where it needs to be defended. We cannot mention her because she is a full-time Nationwide driver.
True. All right, so let's see. Well, on the entry list, we have Denny Hamlin, Brad Keselowski, Kevin Harvick, somewhere, Kurt Busch. Not Mitch in there. I'm not sure where I stand on his ranking.
Well, I could tell you one thing. with Danica Patrick. She definitely wasn't a happy camper over the weekend after she was running up there in the top five. And right at the end, she got a little tap, spun around, and that was it.
Well, we had to go to something more interesting. We had to go to something more interesting.
That's right. You have to go to something more interesting. That was the comment made by commentators when they showed there was a crash car off in the gravel pit. But let's go to something interesting. Here's Danica Patrick.
Wait a minute. Let me defend my driver, okay? TJ Bell is, yes, in the trap. TJ Bell, there was no contact. There was really no damage. So they say, oh, TJ Bell is in the trap. Well, that's just too bad. And then next thing you know, well, no disrespect to TJ, but let's go to something more interesting.
Right. And that right there, that just irritated me because I don't care who it is in that trap. I don't care what driver it is. I just, that's not what you say. That's not what you do. It's almost like your way of just in that first.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, we vented. We got it out, and we're okay.
I won't mention it again. The other thing that irritates me, too, is they always focus on Danica. Danica, 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 Danica. Everywhere we go, even in the media, Danica's coming in to talk to the media. I'm sorry, I want to talk to Johanna Long. I want to talk to Angela Coates. I want to talk to Chris Wallace if she's ready. She's not the only
I think I've lost you.
It's not fair. There's so many girls out there. Give them all equal coverage. Don't focus on one. Give them all equal coverage. You want diversity in NASCAR? You got it. You got to give them all that equal time.
Exactly. Exactly. Listen, guys, I need to run. Actually, I need to walk because I'm walking around the block now. So I am going to let you go. I love you. I love talking to y'all. And I will be back on next Monday night.
Well, thank you so much, Cindy. You have a great one. I know I'll be talking to you throughout the week.
Oh, yes. Kyle, Tracy, whoever else is still on that board, Glenn.
They're all
take
there.
Care. Have a wonderful week. Have a
you
wonderful
too.
Week.
Be safe
talk
out
to y'all
there.
Too. Okay, I will. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, Glenn, we're going into Kentucky. So, I mean, we saw that there's a bunch of guys want to be nationwide series, club series, and everything like that. We were talking earlier about last year they had the traffic problems at this track. Some fans never saw the race paid for. So what's your thoughts and take on this weekend?
My pick for this weekend? It's like a question.
And you can my pick, if you can do all three, go for it, however you want to do it.
I'm gonna go with Martin Truex Jr. Kind of decent on those small. Well, it's not a. I think it's a mile, mile and a half track. It's pretty good with those.
I think. Oh, I guess I have to pick somebody out. I know Kyle's going to be asking me to do this. I don't pick somebody. I haven't been doing so good in my pick. I've been doing really, really bad. It's really, really off. I've been picking off the ball people too. I don't know. Who do I want to change? I'm not like good at anything when I pick. Thing. I was just looking at it. I mean, the push came close last week. He had never seen that team struggle. Brian Vickers is the one who had the least run last week. I'm going to give Kenta the shot to see how he does if I'm missing.
You want to give Matt Kentz is a good person to look at.
I'm going to give him a shot. Let's see. Now, going into this weekend, let's see. Where are we at here? Leading our points. Oh, he's leading the points going into this weekend. He's 11 points ahead of Biffle. Junior's in third. Johnson's fourth. Tony moved up three spots to take over fifth. Harvick sixth. Boyer, Atlas, fourth. I don't know. What do you think the chase is going to look like this year? I mean, we're sitting at 16 of 36 races right now. Junior's got himself in there pretty well. He has the win, which will help him with some bonus points. But who's got the top right now. Jimmy and Tony Hamlin, Keselowski, they're going to have, as of right now, they all have 2 wins each, so they're the highest ranked ones. But how do you think this is going to shake out this year?
I'm thinking maybe somebody from the Roush Fenway team might be taken. I'm thinking maybe Greg Biffle or even Matt Kenseth might be the ones who's going to really dominate the balance.
And are there any surprises to you? I mean, Jeff Ward's sitting there in 18th right now, Casey's in 17th. Is it kind of shocking to see some of these bigger names outside of there? And Clint's in there this year, Truex is in there. I mean, there's some different names in there. Is it a surprise to you to see them out there and, you know, not up there competing for the chase spot at this point, or do you think they're just laying back and waiting?
I'm thinking that right now Jeff Gordon is probably looking for a lucky rabbit's foot because he's had the lousiest luck since Daytona. So I kind of feel bad for him in a way. The other guy, like Casey Kane, Casey Kane's 17th in points. He just dropped down one. Those two, I guess, really have their work cut out for them.
And they do.
Because
and like,
out of the four Hendricks teams, you got third and fourth, which they're just tossing back and forth because, well, Dale Jr. was in second place, dropped down to third. Jimmy Johnson stayed pretty much steady, although Jimmy Johnson does have 2 wins. So that's going to give him the edge. So does Tony Stewart and Denny Hamlin, each with 2 wins.
True. You know, one of the other things I'm looking at, too, is we have Kurt being punished for his actions to have to sit out a week. He's sitting back there now in 12th spot. He's sitting there in 27th at point. He has no chance at this point if he would get to the top 12 to get in. But Newman's sitting right on that bubble, too. Are they going to, you know, complete it and be consistent and get both their cars in the chase every year since they've been a team, do you think? Do you think Brian can pull this off and get up there?
Well, they're in the wild card. It's going to be between Ryan Newman and Kyle Busch right now around the wild card. I'm thinking, Kyle usually performs pretty well. I'm surprised he hasn't been really up there. I mean, remember that one year he won almost every race. He was up on the top, and then when it came to the chase time, he dropped down faster than the Titanic. Oops, was I supposed to say that?
And Brad's up there, too, and no offense to Brad, but sometimes his consistency hasn't been there either. He's been in 10th spot, but that's not to say one bad week doesn't knock him out and put Newman in. You know, they're so tight up there, but even Paul Menard, he's sitting, 9 points back, 10 points, or 8 points back, something like that, from Newman. You know,
right.
And two, and so is Joey Logano. So if any of them have one bad week, it could be a quick shuffle in the points.
This is true. This, yes. But Joey Logano's kind of struggling. Paul Menard is moving a little bit better. Ryan Newman, I guess it must be communications within the shop because Tony Stewart is sitting in fifth place, and he just moved up 3 points. Ryan Newman's still, you know, back there, but only...
13.
Right, and he's only got he's in the wild card chase, but, I mean, that can change at any time.
Right. You know, and like I said, with one bad week, you can be shuffled all around. I mean, they're still close enough in that little grouping there. Like, Ambrose is kind of a little far back there in 16 to get into that shuffle, but you never know. You never know with the tracks and stuff coming up, if they're all going to wreck and have a big one or anything like that. It could very well happen that there could be a shakeup even in the top 10 that seem pretty solid right now. Or top 9 more so.
True, if when somebody's motor goes or something like that, and you know what happens during chase time, that's when they really start pushing that envelope.
Right, as you're getting closer and closer to that cup point, you're going to do everything you can to get into that chase. You know, and that's your ultimate goal, is to get in that chase. Do you think the top 12 is a good way to do it? Do you think there should be more? Do you think there should be less?
I think there should be more. I think really they should, you know, they should make it more fearful because it's, you're talking 12 guys out of 43. It's not even half the team. It's only a quarter. I think they should go at least a little bit more, maybe the top 15, because a lot of things can change between then, given more of the opportunity for other drivers to really try hard because, face it, once the chase comes, it's always the top 12 guys. unless
right.
somebody from behind wins, and that's the only time they'll get their recognition.
Right, true. And once that chase begins, too, everybody behind them, okay, the chase guys get reset. Everybody else behind them, they just get put to a point level where they can't catch up. Maybe they should give them bonus points for their wins or something like that, and maybe reset them, too, and let them battle out, you know, from 13th on back. Let them have their own battle. Let the chase guys have their own battle.
That would be nice, where they could be recognized.
Yeah, I mean, okay, you guys were the A-level racers this year for your top 12 for what they take in, but then let's have a B division. You know, they're all going for that 13th spot because that also has bonuses in the payout, too, at the last 10 races. So maybe give them a reward or something to look forward to. You're giving these guys bonuses. Well, maybe throw them a bonus. Maybe that'll shake it up, too, for those guys. Give them a little bit of fun, too, to finish out the year.
Yep, and that was all brought to you by their sponsors of Mary Kay Cosmetics. When you want good lotions and makeup for your wife, come see Mary Kay Cosmetics, and you will have the best.
That is true. We have that, and you also have Evolution Power Sports. We have to mention them, too. New guys in town over here in my area, and they're helping out to make sure we keep the show going every week, too. So if you're in the Douglasville area, check out Evolution Power Sports. They have anything from the street bikes to the racing dirt bikes and quads available over there, and your parts and accessories. So if you're hitting the track in this area, you better be checking them out to get all your supplies.
Yeah, because I know other people buy from other places, but I just don't know why. For the best price, that's where you want to go. Not only for the best price, the knowledge that they have. They're not just going to sell you anything. They're going to sell you the right things.
That's right. They're going to make sure you're leaving that shop with what you need and nothing more.
Well, they say the best advertisement is word of mouth, and you won't see them advertised too much, but people will be talking about them and how they go back.
Well, that's right. Well, I guess we should wrap it up for this week, Glenn. But we're going to be back in action next week. We're going to be watching Kentucky this weekend, and we're going to be having lots of fun, and I hope you will join me again next week.
Yeah, we're looking forward towards it. I'd like to thank everybody, give a quick shout-out to everybody in the room, and appreciate you guys hanging out and listening to us, and we'll be looking forward towards seeing you next weekend.
Sounds good. Well, thanks so much, Glenn. We're going to sign off now. This is Tammy, and Glenn joined me this week from Garage Talk Live. We hope everybody has a great week, and thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you all next Monday.
Bye-bye.